God is good. Amen. Amen. I appreciate. We got to give this young group a name. How about the FBA trio? They all attend the academy. Fellowship Baptist Academy trio. Could call them the Freemans, but then that, I don't know, that gets confusing, brother. You have your Bible open to Psalm 73, and I told you that I'm going to spend some time in this psalm. Last week, with the help of the Lord, we introduced the author of the psalm, Asaph, and from 73 to 83, if you'll notice sometime, not while I'm preaching, but Asaph wrote all of those psalms. This is called the third book of the Psalms. Asaph wrote these songs. He composed them, and God inspired them. And then in chapter number 50, or Psalm 50, is also another psalm that Asaph wrote. And Asaph's psalms have common themes, and one of the main themes, and we'll get to it eventually, if not a little bit, may touch on a little bit this morning, is he mentions the sanctuary of God, the meeting place of God, where people can meet with God. See, Asaph, as we saw last week, was the chief musician. He was kind of David's right-hand man in David's reign. And then, not only that, I'm sure that he and David got together. And we have musicians here. We all start calling them our Asaphs. They like to get together and just play together and pick together and sing together. You know, just sing music. And I like to do that. And I can't play anything. Can't sing. But I sure like to get together with God's people and do it. And I believe that they got together and they just rejoiced in the Lord. We also found out that Asaph was a seer. He was a prophet. And so he understood the importance of some things. And we'll get into that maybe a little more so. We looked at it in detail last week, but I think that it comes out in this psalm. Now, what I want to do is today, with God's help, I want to look at some principles that are going to help you be a better Christian. I want to be a better Christian. Well, I think I'm good, preacher. You know, you need to be a better Christian. And don't even realize it. We all need to be a better Christian, but my question that I want to pose to you this morning is, do you desire to be? Do you really want to be a better Christian? And if so, how can you become that? Well, I think what we have here before us are some principles that are laid down on how to get to a good place in our life. Now, what is that place? I want you to notice verse 28, where Asaph said this. He said, "It is good, but it is good for me to draw near to God." I want to say it's good for me to do that too. It's good for you to do that. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto thee. And I think we all would appreciate the closeness and the nearness of the Lord. Now look at verse number 1, because verse number 1 really is a conclusion that Asaph came to. So I want to lay this foundation again. It's very important. Verse number 1 is the conclusion. See, as we look at these principles, we're going to see that Asaph was perplexed. He didn't know what to say. He knew that if he said what was on his heart, as we shall see in this morning's message, it was going to do some damage. He knew that. And so he got a hold of himself and he began to look at certainties instead of uncertainties. See, uncertainties in our life will cause us to get off track. When we began to focus on uncertainties, it can begin to really lead us down the wrong path. God wants me to focus on certainties as He continues to reveal some things that maybe are uncertain. And we'll see that in just a moment. Maybe there's someone sitting here and you've got some news this week or the past month, or maybe you're going through a situation and it's just caused some uncertainty with you. And I'm talking about in your faith. Asaph is not some shallow, occasional believer. Here's a man that was deep in his faith, and yet he was struggling with some things. And we'll see this in just a moment. He said, "I can't grasp it." Look, if you would, in verse number 16. He said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I could not grasp what was going on. My mind couldn't get hold of it. I couldn't sort through it. What was God doing in my life? Why were these things happening?" And he said, I was uncertain. What do you do when you're uncertain? What do you do in verse number 2 when your feet, he said, as for me? Look at verse 1. He said, God is good. See, that's the conclusion he came to. He said, but though I feel that way now, there was a time that I didn't feel that way. Look at the verbs. Look at verse number 1. Truly God is good to Israel. Right now, I want to tell you God is good. He said, but I couldn't say that before. He said, as a matter of fact, I started to say the opposite. Look at verse 15. He said, if I say, I will speak thus. He said, if I say what's on my heart, it's going to offend some people. It's going to cause some stumbling. You see that in verse 15? He said, it's going to cause some people to stumble. I'm going to offend some people if I say what's on my heart. He says, so I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say anything until I can say verse number 1. Because I know down deep in the heart of hearts, I know that God is good. I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand what God is doing in my life. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand some things that are taking place. I'm uncertain about those things, but I'm certain God is good. I'm going to drive my stake right there until I understand some other things. You see what he's doing? These are principles. So how do you get from verse 2? Let's look at it. He said, but as for me, my feet, past tense, were almost gone, not are. He said, I'm no longer there. I'm no longer in that place. Right now, I'm in verse 1. God is good. But there was a time that I didn't feel this way. I was uncertain. I didn't know. There was something going on, and I couldn't reconcile. I just could not grab hold. I couldn't grasp what was taking place. My feet, he said, were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I mean, he said, I'm on a slippery slope. I'm struggling to get my footing. Now, there's a New Testament principle that says, and having done all to stand, Paul said, stand. Man, when you're slipping, you can't stand. He said, my feet were well nigh gone. He said, I was in a bad place. And he even told us in verse number 3, he said, I'm going to tell you why. And I'm not going to go through this. We will eventually. I have some principles I want to lay before you. He said, I was envious of the foolish. I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at verse number 5. He said, they. You know, the they, what's going on here? The children of Israel had been taken into captivity to Babylon. And these Babylonians were flaunting their captivity. They were flaunting it in the face of these Israelites. And yet God told Asaph, I want you to write a song. In the valley? In captivity? In hard times? Yes. Some of the songs that have come out of hardship. You've read some of the histories of the hymns. Some of the songs that have come out of those times are some of the greatest songs in the Christian faith. Amen? You know, listen, you know about It Is Well With My Soul. You know about Amazing Grace. You know some of the writers of these hymns and the experiences that God allowed them to go through so they could produce such inspirational songs that still today feed our faith and give us hope in the God of heaven. And so he said in verse number 5, he said, they are not in trouble as other men. I wonder who he was thinking of. Look at it. He said, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. I think I know who he's referring to. Look at verse number 15. For all the day long have I been plagued. I think he was referring to himself. You know, he said, man, I'm down here in captivity and I'm struggling and I feel like I'm plagued. And he said in verse 13, like I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He said, I just feel like things are going bad for me, but they're going good for them. Now, here it is. I'm going to put this in present tense vernacular, okay? I'm going to bring it up to date for you. You've thought this. Why do bad things happen to good people? That's what the psalmist is saying. How do these bad people get away with this stuff? He said, if you'll notice in verse number 8, he said, they're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They've taken us into captivity. And he said, they're speaking like that God's not real and God's people don't matter. He said in verse number 8, the last part of it, he said, they speak loftily. Verse 9, they set their mouth against the heavens. Look at verse number 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Your God's weak. We've taken you into captivity. It doesn't pay to live for your God. And it began to affect him. It began to affect him. It can affect you too. It can affect me too. As a matter of fact, it affected him so much, it not only affected his mindset, it affected his spiritual standing. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. They said that getting saved was going to be a great thing, and all these things would take place when I believed in God and when I trusted God. And yet, I'm going through some difficult times. Some of the most difficult times that I've experienced in my life is after I got saved. But I didn't have to go through them alone. And God took those trials and he turned them into blessings. God can do that. God builds his saints, brethren, in the valley, in the crucible of the fire, in the hard times. It's where God purifies our faith. Here was this man who was saying, this psalmist that was saying, I'm going through a terrible time. Can you identify with him? You say, well, preacher, right now all's well. Well, can I tell you that I'm not trying to throw water on your fire? Hey, man, enjoy this time. But life is not about all roses and good things and blessings and mountaintops. Thank God for them all. Amen. Thank God for them all. And I want to go on record and say right now, in case anybody were to doubt me, I declare unto you that I believe the psalmist when he said, truly God is good. God's been good to me. Far better to me than I deserve. Far better to me than I deserve. I haven't forgotten where God found me. I haven't forgotten the prayers. And sometimes God has to remind me. And I'm ashamed of that. I need to be reminded that there was a time that I was asking for things that I'm enjoying right now. And I'm not talking about clothes or shelter or food. Yes, God provides all of that too. But I have a granddaughter in the service today that we pray, God spare her life. God fix her heart. And God did it, amen. God did it. There's folks sitting on the sound of my voice that I prayed God save their soul. God deliver them from sin. God set them free. And God did it. God did it. See, God can, brethren. God can. And you have many, many experiences where you know God has been good. But can I tell you, the Christian life is not all about the blessings and the provision. There's hard times in the Christian experience. And the sooner we accept this, the sooner we can understand what God is doing in our lives. How do you get there, preacher? I'm going to take a few moments and give you a few principles I think will help you. How can I get to verse number 1? Because right now I think I'm in verse number 2, maybe in verse 13 and 14. Not only do I feel that my feet were well nigh gone and that my steps had well nigh slipped, sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe I've cleansed my heart in vain. Does it really pay to live for Jesus? Does it pay to come out from among them and be you separate? Does it pay to do the hard thing in a questionable situation? Does it pay to be a person of integrity and honesty, even when no human being is looking? These are questions we all have at some time or another. Oh, not me, preacher. Well, sure you do. Sure you do. Do you ever feel like verse 14? All the day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. When it rains, it pours, you know. That's what Grandma used to say. I didn't understand what she meant when I was a little boy running around slopping pigs and feeding chickens. But I guarantee you, when I got a little age on me, I said, oh, that's what Grandma means. Amen. And sometimes it just feels like trials comes in bunches, doesn't it? It does. And the scripture, see, he said, I've been plagued all day long and just chastened every morning. I just feel like that, you know, God is just always working on me. Well, don't let that sadden you. As a matter of fact, when I close this message, you don't even have to wait till that. If God's still working on you, and he is, you might want to come down to these altars and say, God, thank you for still working on me. I didn't give up on me a long time ago. But God, you're still working on me. I done walked away from me a long time ago. But I sure am glad that God doesn't walk away from us, aren't you? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I want to give you about three principles that I think will help us to get from a bad place to a good place. What's that good place? Notice in verse 28, it's good for me to draw near unto God. Now, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to take these principles. And first of all, I want to just make a statement. And I'm not saying this to make anyone mad. Not even, don't know that it's going to make anyone mad. And if you've done what I'm getting ready to say, I've done it. I've told people, you know what? Just look to God. Look, that doesn't help much of anything. And don't be angry at me now if you've done it or you say, well, I'm going to continue to do it. Well, I can't tell you what to do and what not to do. I'm just telling you that God left us principles in this book so we could follow those principles. Sometimes these little quaint sayings sound good, but they offer very little help. Well, sometimes you just got to move on. Well, you know, I mean, yeah. See, God gives us principles to live by, precepts, so that when they're applied, they help get us to where we need to be. Somebody say amen with me. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, very few people have ever got where they need to be for God because some preacher or someone else told them, you just need to move on. You know? Well, some people say, well, how do you do that? How do I do that? What do you mean move on? I'm in a tough place. I'm stuck in a rut. How do I move on? Have some principles you can give them, some precepts to help build their lives and help them to get from where they are to where they want to be. The psalmist gave us some. Let's look at a few of them this morning, okay? I want you to look with me in verse number 15. The psalmist Asaph has given us the condition here. He said, I'm in a bad way. I want to tell you a story. He said, God is good, but he said, but I haven't always felt that way, so I want to tell you a little story. By the way, I like this. The psalmist didn't say anything until he could say God is good. He waited until he said God is good, and then God said, now write that song and tell your story. That in itself is a good principle. Don't act in haste, and we'll get to that in just a moment. He said in verse number 15, if I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. Do you see what this principle here? It's the principle of cause and effect. It's thinking things through. It's understanding that for every effect or cause, there's a consequence. Notice it here. If I say, that's the cause or the effect, I should offend. That's the consequences. You see that? See, we have to come to this place to where we understand what we do and say affects other people. We can't just begin throwing things out there recklessly, brethren. We stand and we say our churches are falling off. We say that people are losing interest in church or people are losing interest in Bible preaching. It may be that we're not preaching the Bible anymore. That there's just a bunch of a racket going on, and people need to hear some precepts, and people need to hear some principles. People need to hear some statutes from God so that they can get some direction for their life. The book says just open up the book and preach it line upon line and precept upon precept. Give people some substance that they can apply to their life. I can only give it to you. I can't make you do it. Amen. And so here's the first principle. When you're in a hard place, when you're in a bad situation, think before you speak. Let me give you a New Testament verse for that, James 1:19. Everyone, James said, ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's what the book says, brethren. I'm going to say that again. swift to hear, slow to speak. Verse 15, if I say, it's almost like it was right on the tip of his tongue. I'm about to say it. Don't say it, Asaph. You're uncertain right now. There's doubts in your heart. That's not a good time to be putting stuff out there. No sooner to get out of your mouth, you'll wish you could reach that and grab it and put it back in. Somebody say amen. You know what I'm talking about. I've done it more times than I want to tell you about. I've opened my mouth when I should have opened my heart and my ears and kept my mouth closed. And so here, listen, this may be the bottom rung of the ladder, so to speak. But at some point, you've got to stop this process. Look at verse 2 one more time. Of your feet almost gone and your steps well nigh slip. You've got to stop. You've got to get some footing. In order to get a foothold and start getting to where you want to be, you've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to say a whole lot right now. I know my heart's not in a good place. I'm angry. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. And usually hurt people hurt people. And so I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to think this thing through, as we shall see here in just a moment, what he said. I'm going to weigh the consequences out before I just start putting some stuff out there. Now, this is not saying that you shouldn't go to someone for counsel. This is not saying that you shouldn't get prayer partners. It's just saying, notice what he said now. If, verse 15, I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against not my counselor, but the generation, look at it, of thy children. I don't want to just go around telling everybody, well, I think I'm just fed up with Christianity. I'm just fed up with church. I'm just fed up with reading the Bible. I'm just fed up with trying to do it God's way. Hey, slow down. Slow down. Think some things through. Think some things through. Be careful what you put out there. It's far easier not to say it than to say it and wish you would not have and try to undo what you've said. I think most of us have lived long enough to understand that principle. Amen? And so he said, I want to weigh my consequences here. You see what he did there? That's a good place to start. What's going on with you that you're uncertain of, that the devil's kind of shaking your faith a little bit, kind of rattled you a little bit, and you're about to question something that you know deep down in the core of your being is not so, but yet you just feel that way. On the surface, you just feel like, what's going on? And you feel like saying something and putting it out there, so to speak. Good principle from the Word of God is, consider the consequences. If you say that, what's going to happen to some people? Let me give you another New Testament principle. Romans 14. The Bible says that we ought to really consider the weaker brethren. You know, Romans 14, where I'm talking about the stronger and the weaker brethren. We have to be careful what we do and what we say. Listen, what we do and what we say affects other people. No man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. We're connected. People's watching us. They're listening to us. And someone's personal growth or walk with God could come down to what we show or say to them. And I want to be real careful there. And I've asked God to help me to be more so careful. So that's a good principle, and I hope you'll take that principle from the Word of God. Don't act hastily. Be slow to speak. What was it the psalmist said? I think Psalm 116. I said in my haste, all men are liars. You know, wait a minute. You said what? In my haste. You know. Just, boy, I mean, it came up and came out. Be careful. He said, if I say, he's thinking about it, right? I better think about, if I say something, what it's going to do. If I say it, it's going to offend some people. And I don't know that that's what I want to do right now. I don't know that this would be good for people. And so I think I'm going to keep it to myself for right now. I'm going to mull on the matter. I'm going to muse a little bit. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. Step number 2. This man has some uncertainties, a lot of uncertainties. Usually when we're shaken in our faith, uncertainties and doubts do kick in. Is that right, brethren? Now listen, and I'm not trying to loosen you up a little bit. You do whatever you want to do, but I just want to talk to you. I'm shooting from my heart today, okay? I do that. At least I try to be just sincere and transparent as I can be. Every one of us that are sitting here, listen, even if you're not a Christian, you're going to go through something very similar to this. But if you've been a Christian any length of time, you've lived right here. You've lived in Psalm 73. May not be the exact thing. You may not be envious of the prosperity of the wicked. But you look at people and you look at things and you say, you know, why did that happen to that good family? I mean, those are good people. And then you look at others and you begin to question and doubt, you know, the way things go and the way things happen. And possibly even to yourself. Here I am trying to serve God and do what's right. And there's people that curse his name and that deny him and deny the inspiration of his word and the truth of his word. And it seems like that they just don't have any problems whatsoever. That's what this man's facing. How are you going to get to a place where you can look beyond that, the questions, and say, you know what, I'm not the one who makes the rules. I just know this. Truly, God is good to Israel. God is good to his people. I don't understand all that's going on in our world today and sometimes even in my own personal life, but I do know this. God is good. Now, what's that principle? Certainties weigh against uncertainties. We all have uncertainties. Can I encourage you to take this principle to heart? What this man did is he said, I'm going to weigh my certainties against my uncertainties. I'm uncertain about some things right now. But I'm not going to focus on those uncertainties. Yes, I want answers. And there's nothing wrong with wanting answers. But I don't want to just delve into and dive into a pool of uncertainty and just drown in uncertainty. I want to weigh them against some things I'm sure of. I'm sure of some things this morning, brethren. Oh, listen, I sitting at my desk this past week, I had a spell thinking about some things I'm sure of. I used to be so unsure about so much. And I'm still unsure about some things. I still have some questions. But oh, how God has helped me. And I just want to personally bless his holy name. I am 100% sure that I'm a child of God. Not 99.9. I am 100% sure that I'm a child of God. If I wasn't sure about anything else, if I could turn a cartwheel right now, I'd turn a cartwheel right here on this stage. And I probably could try, but you'd have to take me out in traction or a straitjacket or a gurney or something. Amen. I wouldn't be able to walk out of here. But I tell you what, though physically I'm not going to do a cartwheel, if you could see in my heart right now, I'm doing one. I am a child of God. I used to be a child of the devil. That is a reality. That's just not some verbiage, brethren. That is the word of God. I am a child of Almighty God. I used to be a child of the devil. Jesus saved me. I'm going to heaven, amen. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. Boy, if God's people get excited about being children of God and going to heaven, I believe there'd be some sinners that want to become children of God and go to heaven with us, amen. Yeah. Yeah. I realize sometimes we're not. I get that. But I want to look to the certainties. I am certain that I've been born again. Certain of that. I am certain that there's a place prepared for me in heaven. I am certain that my sins are gone. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I am 100% certain that the purpose of my life is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm certain of these things. I'm certain that I have a book called the Word of God that has no error in it, brethren. This book is always right, amen. Always right. Always on time. This is not the Bible only. This is the Word of God. I'm certain of that, you see. I don't go through days wondering, well, I wonder if it's so. I wonder if God wrote that book. I'm certain. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. No way I could ever be a child of the devil again. No way I could ever be lost in my sin again. I'm certain of that, you see. So when the devil comes and shows me things that are so. They're so. I don't think the psalmist was making this up. He said, I saw this. I saw, verse number two, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. It was there. He felt this. These psalms are experiential. He's experiencing this. It's real. It's not some figment of his imagination. It's not some deceptiveness of the enemy. It's real. And so he said, the first thing I want to do, before I jump to conclusions and before I put it out there and start saying the way I feel, I want to think about the consequences of what I'm going to say. I think I need to think about this a little longer. And then he said, in order to do that, I'm going to have to weigh my certainties against my uncertainties. Amen. He said, I know God is good. And yet in verse 13 and 14, he said, I don't know, maybe all this is in vain and I feel like I'm being played. He said, but that's not my God. I'm uncertain on one hand, I'm certain. And so he said, I'm going to take hold of my certainties. What are you certain of this morning? If you're going through a difficult time this morning, listen to me. I'm not minimizing difficult times. Been through some. You have too. You have too. And I'm not saying despise the days of difficulty. I'm just saying learn some principles to get you through it. You want to get on the backside of the test of your faith. The enemy wants to destroy us in the difficulties. Some people never make it through the storm. But the Savior's on board through every storm if you're saved. Look to some certainties. Now here's the final thing I want you to see. And I'll close this morning. So we have, think it through. Be slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear. Right? Don't be in haste and say, well, you know, all men are liars and this person this and that person that. Start accusing and making statements that are not founded, you see. Step number two, weigh the certainties against the uncertainties. It's time for somebody to eat. I'm with you. I'm hungry too. So I'm going to wrap it up right here in just a minute. He held on to what he was certain of. And can I just encourage you to please do that? Please hold on to what you're certain of. Think of some things. Don't just jump into a pool of uncertainty and drown in that. I talk to so many people that's all they can see is the uncertainty. Look to some certainty. I get it. There's some uncertainties. But there's some certainties too. And you can weigh them against your uncertainty. Now here's the third. I'm just going to mention this and lay a little groundwork and we'll pick up here next week because I think this is the greatest step. When I really look at this psalm, I'm amazed at how God works in the heart of man. I'm amazed. This man done some things and he didn't have answers. Now you say, how do you know that? This man, he weighed out some things. He weighed the certainties and the uncertainties. He, in verse number 15, he looked at the consequences of his effect. The cause. But yet he still didn't understand. How do you know that? Well, look at verse number 16. When I thought to know this, still thinking about it. Not going to say in verse 15, not going to say it. I'm going to continue to think about it. I thought about it, he said. He said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I believe he was wrestling here. When you look at the way this verse is laid out, and you look at the structure of it, it's just basically saying, you know what? I'm struggling here. This hard. This hard stuff. Can I tell you that everything that God does in our lives is not easy? God will ask you to do the hard thing. Hey, by the way, and I'm just going to say this since I'm here. Parents, don't be afraid to ask your children to do hard stuff. Now, I didn't have a father in my life. Certainly a father gave me life, and I don't take that lightly, but he left me and my family turned his back on us, and I'm not angry. I'm not even bitter at him. I pray to God he got saved, and I see him in heaven. I mean that. I got that right a long time ago, long time ago. But I had a man one time that I used to work for him when I was a kid. He taught me some really great principles about life. He would give me some really difficult tasks to do. And I was a kid. And he told me often, he said, son, he said, it's the hard task that builds character in your life. Don't ever shy away from the hard things. And I'm afraid as a country, across the board, I don't mean just people outside the church or outside of religion or outside Christianity, across the board, I'm afraid that we have gotten to a place of where we're afraid to ask young people to do the hard thing. Don't be afraid to ask your children to do the hard stuff. It builds character in their life. It's just good to do some things from time to time that you don't want to do. I think Dr. Edwards put it correctly when he said, get over yourself. We just live life like it's supposed to, everything's just supposed to be about me. Well, I've got some news for you today. It's not all about you. There comes a time when you've got to consider some other people. This psalmist said, if I say, I will offend. So I'm not going to make this about me and just say and do what I want to do. I'm going to consider some other people. I'm not going to say it because I know it will offend them. And sometimes we just have to go through life knowing that God has that for us. Amen, church? Amen. Let me give you this final principle. And here it is, verse 17. Until. You get that? He said, I was struggling. I'd done some things and I still didn't have answers. I didn't say what I was wanting to say in verse number 15 because I knew it would offend some people. But in verse number 16, when he said, I was still thinking about it, and it was hard, it was painful. I weighed my certainties against my uncertainties, and though it slowed me down, and though it got me back on the right track, my feet weren't completely gone, they were just almost gone. Say amen with me. He started doing some things that kept him from falling. He started doing some things that kept him from going down that slippery slope. Yes, his feet were well nigh slipped, but he wasn't going down the slippery slope because he took hold of some things. And he said, though I'd done it, I still was struggling. Look at verse 17, until. Oh, now we're going to get some answers. I want you to go home this week and read Psalm 73 through 83, and just underline the words tabernacle, sanctuary, congregation, things that have to do with the abode of God and the meeting place of God. Asaph really, he honed in on that. And he said in verse number 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I. And we could stop right there, but he said therein. He said, you know, there's something about being in the presence of God, in the place of God, that just brings good spiritual understanding. And here's the third principle I want you to write down, the importance of spiritual thinking. Sometimes we go through troubles, we leave God out. We just leave him out. God needs to be put in every facet, every equation, every thought, every act, every action, every move of your life if you're a Christian. Don't leave him out. Don't leave him out. He said, I went in the sanctuary. Can I tell you what you're doing this morning? And it's not, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for you. You're doing it for God, I hope. It's important. Amen. Assembling together with God's people in God's house is really, really important. Amen. And there is a mindset that's sweeping our country, even our world, that's no longer important. We'll just kind of turn the computer or the phone on and watch a service. Now, the assembling of ourselves together is really, really important. There's just some things that come from us assembling that you can get no other way. And so the psalmist said, you know, and I don't know, when he said until, I don't know if maybe he quit going to the sanctuary for a while. I don't know. I can't say he did. I can't say he didn't. Maybe this condition so hurt him and troubled him that he had gotten a little lax in his attendance or in his prayer. I don't know. So, well, now what can we do? Well, next week, the Lord willing, we'll pick up right there. We're going to talk about some things that will help us, some good things that the church and the things surrounding the church, Bible reading, prayer, scripture memorization, things, New Testament teachings that will help us to be where we need to be. Say, well, I'm saved. And Peter said, add to your faith these things. 2 Peter chapter 1, right? He said, you need to add some things. You need to do some things. Don't just sit back and say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I think I know it all now. Some people say, I've been saved 4 years. I think I know it all now. Some people have been saved 4 months, know it all. Listen. God wants to help you be a better Christian. He wants to help me be a better Christian. And I think the psalmist lays down some good principles to get to a place in our life that no matter what's going on, we can say, truly. Notice the way that verse started. Truly. Good times, bad times. Understand, don't understand. Truly. God is good to Israel. His people is what that means. His people. Even to such as have a clean heart. Let's stand to our feet. If you're here this morning and you're going to be baptized, and we have two ladies that are going to be baptized today, you can go ahead and be dismissed. Sister Doris will assist you and help you. Pastor BJ will also be down, and he'll take care of the baptism this morning.